above. Heard lied to and done wrong.
Time, and it's a Monday, Drive Time Radio, UPRN FM 107.7. If you just tuned in, the song you just heard was Soldier for Life, and that song is by our guest for this afternoon's Drive Time segment. Interesting. She can act, sing, and write, and really does have a personality that captures people and captivates audiences around the world. That being said, we'll introduce today's guest, please.
Well, I will let you know she hails from one of the cities of the Mecca of hip-hop. She's from Queens, New York, representing from New York, Miss Trinetta Love. Say hello to the world.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Absolutely. So what have you been up to as of late?
As of late, I've been filming through my company, T-Stars Entertainment, where talent lives and breathes. And I'm showcasing my talent as well as the talents of artists from the Atlanta area. So we've been really busy with that, putting stuff out, and that's just been an exciting time.
So you got your big squad down there in APL? Or
it's growing. It's not that big, but it's big enough. And I'm only working with A-listers. Every artist, actor, even singing artists that I know, I consider them A-listers, and that's what I call them. So that's a select few that I actually handpick. Some of them I've worked with in the past, and just phenomenal talent that I just, you know, I got so frustrating doing projects here that didn't see the day of light that I said, you know what, I'm going to create my own movement and make sure that not only my talent gets showcased, but other talent as well.
Okay.
So we're building. We're building. So, like we're filming next week, and we're gonna have like I'm gonna have like 12 artists or actors at my at the location. So we're building.
Well, you know, this is the first time that you did. You heard it here first. That's the name of our show. So, in keeping with that as a theme, in the spirit of you heard it here first, we do have 12 million listeners around the world.
Wow.
And a lot of them are music business aficionados. I want to ask you, see, because I haven't made it down to Atlanta as a member of the industry and really checked it out. You know, there's been all of this movement. Everybody who's got any kind of money that has had any previous success in the last decade or so is just opening up real wide down there. I understand Tyler Perry is building a giant production facility and just so on and so forth. And I hear all of these stories. Now, you're right down there. So for those of us who are getting this sense that Atlanta is the new Mecca, you know, if you cannot make it to L.A. and get seen, heard, and have the opportunity to demonstrate that you're worthy of being chosen for a real professional job in the industry, then make it down to Atlanta. Now, you're right down there, and you said, and I'm just bringing off of your statement where you said, well, look, I got really tired of just having to peel through all of this stuff that did not see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given that, is that just your overview, or is there a lot of that going on? And in order to economically
now, let's tell the audience too, because I am from New York, and I'm jaded. It takes a little bit more to impress people, and that have seen Broadway shows and you know the theater and the musical stuff, and I find that. Yeah, Atlanta's great, but a lot of people that, let's say, have created a stage play has never really seen one. So because there is a great energy here and Tyler Perry's doing his thing, everybody's trying to do that, but it took a lot for him to get to where he is. It just doesn't happen overnight. And a lot of times people need to do their research, to do their due diligence. Like I flew to New York to see Denzel and the Iceman Cometh. I mean, I'll fly and go and study because if you can't meet these people personally, you can meet them from afar and they can still mentor you because you can observe them and you can learn from these people. So I find that a lot of people might have a good intention, but they don't have the tenacity and the wherewithal, because this business, music business, like I said, music is a business. Acting is a business. People don't understand this is a business. And if you can't withstand the rain, some thunder, some lightning, then this is not for you. You know, when we get to the stage, or you get, whether it's a concert, whether it's a stage, do a stage play, people don't see that work you do in the lab. It's a lot of work you do behind the scenes. You see it out front. So a lot of people say, oh, I want to go to Atlanta. I want to do this. But they can't stand the rain. You know what I'm saying?
One of the motivational speakers. And unfortunately, I'm not the one who came up with this. And I can't remember who said it. But what they said was, you have to be crazy enough to decide to be successful, even though. So when the thunder and the rain and the lightning is cracking open on you, you got to be crazy enough to tell yourself, you know what? That's just fine. I was prepared for this. You know, yep. In the meanwhile, yep. We got work to do.
Yes, nonstop work. And, you know, I've sung at the Apollo in New York, and the reality was people didn't know I'm doing the Apollo. I did. I'm Harlem Week. I'm on a stage, all these people. But they didn't realize, you know, I had to work. So the next day, my reality was, hey, Chinetta, can you fax this? You got to deal with being high one night. People asking you for autographs. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah.
You got to deal with being the high, and then the next day, the other life kicks in, and you still got to push through that. And, you know, but yeah. You know what? We need. It teaches you humility. It definitely does.
When we were very young, there was this story that our handlers, mentor, if you will, used to tell us about this duo that were both mm-hmm. dishwasher. One was a waiter and the other one was a dishwasher at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they achieved the Grammy, and they still needed the money so bad because, you know, mm-hmm. when you get paid four times a year, everybody thinks,
right.
You know, oh, well, you got an award. That means you're going to have a Rolls Royce tomorrow.
Hmm. Yeah, right?
This guy showed up late for work the next morning dressed in yesterday's clothing with the Grammys under their arm, and the boss said, well, you're still late for waiting and waiting tables and washing dishes.
Isn't that something? And a lot of people, famous, they don't realize that's the reality for a lot of artists.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Your stats to the public say that when you were the ripe old age of 16, you won a talent show. But what I want to know is what leads up to you win the talent show at 16. When did you really start? And
no, I was a queen. I won a teen queen contest.
Okay.
So
okay.
When I was at that age, I wanted to go on to be Miss America, but what people don't know, maybe they don't know, it takes funds, takes money to enter, to get the gowns and all that. So I won a teen competition, and I have been singing since like junior high school, like the eighth grade, and I've been a part of dance teams and bands and stuff. So I've been, you know, entertaining pretty much all my life. So, yeah, right. Being in pop ensemble, like I tell people, what is that, the Glee Club, you know, that was my life. The chorus, singing, dancing, theatrical stage, all that. And I hope and pray to one day make my way to Broadway.
It will happen.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this, because you can remember back to when you decided, you know, this mm-hmm. part for all of us when we tinker, you know, young people, you know, if you look in anybody's bedroom, you will find some hockey skates, a tennis racket,
right.
A football, a basketball, something for gymnastics, and maybe even a karate uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of these things are they an expert at. They're working through what that, you know, what is it going to be? So for
right.
you, what is it inside that clicks or ticks or pops or the line that you cross where you have this moment of clarity as a young person where you know, hey, this is really what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. And unless God says no.
You know what did to me when I won that teen competition, and because leading up to that, it was basically my friends and school and my classmates saying, you could sing. But I started out in sports, softball, and I really wanted to be a professional softball player. And then I just sang at school one day around some friends, and one of my friends took me to the chorus teacher. And I sang and I made chorus, and but it wasn't until, because when I won that competition, I was going to drop out a couple of days before the competition because the adults were pretty much saying very mean things to me. And basically saying she can't sing, she can't, this, all she hears is light skin. And I would go outside and cry. And my mother said, and my mother would say, they're saying that because you're a threat. And of course, a teenager, we think our mom's crazy.
Wow.
And we're like, ah. And my mother said, you are not going to drop out. So I did it because my mother made me stick to it. And when I won, that's when I knew. I said, my mother's not crazy. I really have something. And that's what I knew. And I just feel so high, you know, when I'm singing and when I'm on stage, I feel it's a high better than whatever drug a person has taken.
I see. We're going to have a lot of fun in this afternoon segment because, you know, I got the twist question. Now, that's what happened to you that leads up to where you are now, okay? You're down in Atlanta and you're peeling through egregious stacks of stuff that's not properly prepared because everybody thinks all you got to do is show up, you know? Back in the day, there was this story about, you know, I got off the Greyhound bus with nothing but my one pair of blue jeans and my two light t-shirts, my leather jacket, my cowboy hat, and my guitar hanging on my back. I had 40 cents in my pocket and a song. It seems that there's a lot of that going on, just like there used to be a lot of that going on in Hollywood until corporate took over and decided, let us issue you some structure. You need to have this, one of those. You have to have one of these, and then you can show up and ask, hey, could I be next to be considered? Yeah. Now, what's going on down in Atlanta? It sounds like if you're not a true A-lister, you're not really in the mix at all. Actually, you're not in the mix. I just want to know from you, because you're right there, what's really happening?
The thing is a lot of the casting calls and a lot of these big movies do come to Atlanta. I actually was met Will Downey Jr. because they were in the building I was at. However, the casting call is for extras. So they bring the big Hollywood people here, and they hire Atlanta primarily for extra, you know?
Oh.
And I personally don't have time to be standing around all day for maybe $50 or $75, you know. So that, they bring Robert Downey Jr., all of them. You could see them, you know, so it's like a lot, it calls for a lot of background talent, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you got bills and you got to do other things, you know, I need more than $50.
You can't really afford to hang out on, you know, I got to meet Joe Famous and they fed us and I was in the scene.
I mean, you know, I couldn't, you know, even when I was in New York and stuff, I'm just me and I got to pay my rent. I just did not have the luxury of, if, you know, I can't be somewhere all day. If it's between me and making, you know, paying my rent, I got to go and pay my rent unless it's worth the risk.
Can't blame you at all. I mean, you know. I can't blame you at all. You have to choose your level of work. You know, especially in our business.
Right.
Everybody sees something that's just so juicy that they just got to be involved in. They'll decide that, you know what, just because I want to do it because so-and-so's involved in it. Look at how this thing reads. But other than that, you're absolutely right. So the work is not there. You must create your own empire in Atlanta. How easy is that to do or not do if one is persistent and open and tractable and willing to learn? And they just have raw spirit. Can you still do that, Atlanta?
Absolutely. You can go wherever because online. You know, the thing is, we have people in their 20s building empires and millionaires already off their YouTube channels. So, I mean, my thing is, if you love to do it, you really don't want too much of a vacation from it. It's a grind, but it's a love like you never knew before. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like if you're in love, you don't want to be away from that person. And if you're in love with what you're doing, you really, you know, I eat, sleep, drink this stuff. And, you know, it's my passion. I do. It's who I am.
That's a big deal.
And so, yeah, it's like I'm going to live my dream or die trying. Point blank, period. And when you make up your mind, that's what it is. You get to work. You have to invest. People don't understand it takes money to make money. So you have to invest in your equipment or whatever it is, studio time, producers, mixing, mastering, et cetera. And you're just going to have to make sacrifices. You're not going to be able to go on, you know, trips all the time with your friends or hang out all the time. But if it's really what you want to do, you work now and your gifts will take you all around the world.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me ask
you,
now, is the independent talent there as far as like cinematographers, videographers, choreographers, hair people, the clothing people, and so on and so forth?
Atlanta has it, all kinds of people, and it's so much talent here, and that's what I'm doing. You know what, it's like one man, a woman's trash is another man's treasure. I know talent. And I'm scooping up, like I said, my A-list is my gang. And when we bust through, it's like we don't bust it through. It's been people on the grind for a while, and, you know, we're about to make it happen.
So how far away are you from, we'll just say, your first or next demonstration of what you and your squad are up to?
I'm sorry?
The next completion of project and presentation.
Oh, we have an ongoing. I have a series called Rufus and Renee that's ongoing, and we're gearing up for our Thanksgiving meal special. And so
I saw that,
filming.
and I have to be honest. I'm gonna tell on myself. I didn't get to watch one segment. So
okay,
I will ask you, what is Rufus and Renee about?
Rufus is Renee. It really is. We're selling this couple. They're a loving couple. They go through their. We're talking about relationship. Different things that happen in relationship. Renee is. She's funny. She's a funny character. And Rufus. They've been together 10 years. We just released their love story. So I want people to definitely go to youtube.com/TStarsEntertainment and see their love story. But it's a loving, funny, fun couple. And what's coming up is that we're going to meet. And then we recently met Rufus's mom, Miss Lorraine. And people are getting a total kick out of Miss Lorraine. And so we're going to, on our next episode, we're going to introduce some more characters, and we're building it. So Rufus and Renee, think about a cross between, I Love Lucy, Martin, you know, those funny couples, and we're just mashing it all up.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I'm going to have to make sure that I sit down and just, you know, I like
check
to
it out. We're growing. We started and we're growing, and like we're filming our Thanksgiving special next weekend. So, and then also Ron English and myself, we did a remake of I can't tell you the scene because it's classic and it's with classic superstars. And we redid this scene that's going to be dropping I think maybe in a few weeks. And it's a classic scene. And we're doing it in honor of these actors. And a lot of times what's going on nowadays is people are just dismissing the people who opened the doors for us or the people who backs I crawl on. And we definitely want to honor everyone, the Bill Dukes and Robert Townsend and all those people who paved the way for us to even be able to do what we're doing today.
When you mentioned Robert Townsend and Bill Dukes, I know that you worked under his direction at some point in time.
No, I went to his masterclass, Bill Dukes.
Okay. Now, what was that like for you?
Oh, my God, phenomenal. Bill Duke, he ruined it for every other teacher, acting coach, because when I saw him take this guy, this guy did a monologue, and Bill Duke is very kind. And the guy, he didn't, you know, bring the character to life. And he took this guy had to be at least 23 years old. And this guy was doing a monologue about a man who was older, had cancer, but he didn't change anything about his demeanor. Bill Duke said, well, if you got cancer, you're going to be coughing. And if you're 70 years old, you're going to be walking like this. He transformed this guy in front of our eyes. It was just amazing. And he brought in Robert Townsend. He brought in Keenan Ivory Wayans. He brought in all these heavy hitters to the class, and they all talked to us. And the bottom line is, you don't have to spend a lot of money, but you got to have really good material, you know? And a lot of people, you can videotape something on your cell phone now, and it's decent quality, and put it out there. But it's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal man.
The business is really changing.
Yeah.
That being said, again, for our industry and business aficionado listeners, what is the climate like at this point? Are we still in some massive transition from what it used to be, and we still don't know what it is, or do we have some type of more of a definition to work from in terms of traditional business deals in the industry versus just using everything that you possibly can and just rolling your sleeves up and your pants low too and going for it as an independent?
You know, independent is really, you know, when I was in New York, you know, I went to Warner Electric, you know, asking for a deal. I had a manager taking me. You know, at some point you get tired of begging.
Well,
and you
got
to create your own. And so, artists like Tamia Hill, Grant Hill's wife, she's doing well with her independent, you know, project. You know, I follow her on Instagram, and she's doing very well with her new project. Because, you know, if you don't want to conform, and you don't want to be cookie cutter, because they say, oh, you got to sound like this, you got to look like this. You know, I'm not for all of that. I'm an artist. I write my own stuff. I do a lot of stuff. And I would say, especially if you're a non-conformist, and a lot of artists don't want to conform, you gotta carve your own path. Like, everybody's, like, trying to go in the path of Tyler Perry. Create your own, blaze your own trail, whatever it is. You know, when Brandy was out, they had me in the studio trying to sing I Want to Be a song with the same beat and everything as I Want to Be Down. And it was so frustrating. I felt so like, it was like, I don't want to sing if I got to do it like that. Because Brandy.
Let me ask you, I will call it a professional observation question.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience, observing what you just described and actually, you know, having it, have some of it served to you, do you think that is because folks up top don't care, and, you know, whatever appears to be working, well, let's just go get some of that and, you know, kind of just coast through the whole thing in terms of let's be a successful business organization that represents entertainers and distributes their work versus, you know, let's just go out and have fun and do the best art we can and make sure we hire the right people to make sure that the bills get paid and we don't lose the building, we keep our equipment and we get paid.
I mean, really, that's up to the individual, which you know, path they want to take. I definitely believe in you got to handle the business part of it, you know what I'm saying? Stay on top of that, because a lot of people go under because they don't handle the business. But you need to, and then if you want to be free to just create it, don't handle it, then hire a business manager to have your back in to take care of that. But nowadays, you got to watch everybody.
Yeah.
So it's up to you which way you want to go, you know what I mean?
Well, somebody said never hire somebody who's bad you don't know, which means then you may as well learn a job and then decide, well, am I good at it? I just don't want to do it. So at least now I know who you're I know what quality service is.
Exactly. And, you know, I got into films and all that because I hired somebody to film my Soldier for Life video and edit it. Well, that person decided they didn't want to edit the video. That's how I got into editing and doing the filming because, you know, some people you can hire them and say, look, I don't want to do it. And what are you going to do? I didn't have more money. Yeah, so actually he did me a favor. And sometimes the universe works like that to push you into a different path because I never thought I could love something as much as I love my music and my singing. And I love it just as much. Of course, it goes hand in hand because when I sing and I believe in entertaining, it's all acting too. You know, I could sing a song and somebody would think I love them. When I don't, I'm acting through the song. Yeah, I've done
you, so when you write, do you see like the video and the whole scene and everything as you're writing the lyrics and you're hearing the music?
No.
What is your process?
No, when I write and I'm... You know, actually the track will tell me what to write. It's like when a producer can, you can sing something and they can hear a beat. Well, when I hear music, I hear lyrics. But at that time, I don't even have an idea. I don't think that far into a video because writing a song is extremely intimate, especially if I go very deep inside. So I can have breakdown, cry, depending on when I'm writing. And it's just a very intimate dance, me and the lyrics. So nothing else, total focus. And then when it's all done, when you give birth to that, then you're like, okay, next step. Because it's a lot of different steps. People think you don't go and just record. You can record, but then you got to mix it. Then you got to master it. Then you know what I'm saying? Find different people to do those different steps. And then you got to think the image-wise, like photos and stuff. It's a lot of different steps if you really want to push through a really good, solid project.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
You really have to be dedicated. So let me ask you, Soldier for Life, what actually lead up to or how does that look? What are the events that lead up to the birth of that piece of work?
Soldier for Life, I heard the track and usually sometimes a hook will come. And I thought about my mom, who's a single mom raising 5 kids. And I just thought about it from her perspective. You know, every day she's making it happen. You know, all salute to the captain. You know what I mean? Because
yes.
You got to admit, even when a woman's married, it's like, you know, mom's going to make it happen. Okay, so thought about my mom when I wrote that. And then I thought about all the other women, you know, either single by choice or single because of abandonment, raising children. And just the tenacity. And I admire my mother. And other mothers and some single fathers for just sticking to it and getting through it and keeping their head up. It's really an anthem.
Yes, it is. It is an anthem.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's an anthem and a dedication and a tribute.
Yes.
That's the word.
Tribute, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Very touching.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now, I understand that you also did a stint as an interviewer. Was that for BET?
VH1, Behind the Music.
Yes, you interviewed 50 Cent. So what was that like for you?
At that time, and that was at the China Club in New York, and that's why people have to understand, sometimes it's be available if that's what you want to do. I got called because somebody didn't show up. Or couldn't show up for the interview with 50. At that point, I wasn't familiar with 50, but you know, when opportunity knocks, I'm like, I'll get ready in a minute. And so the guy called me down there and said, okay, he has a song on How to Rob. I said, okay. So, you know, met him, did the interview, and years later, and that's what I had to understand, you know, because as a real young person, like, I want everything to happen now. It doesn't. Years later, I had put the video on YouTube. It got so many hits. VH1 came to me when they were doing Behind the Music, and they requested to use that footage.
Now, let me ask you a question. Don't mean to cut you off. Was that interview done back in 98 or 99?
When I can't remember, he did How to Rob.
I think How to Rob came out in 98 or 97, so that's going back 20 years.
That's going back. Yeah.
That was before 50 Cent got shot. Before he got shot 9 times or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I didn't know much about him.
He was signed to Columbia Records back then. Had a $1 million contract or whatever. He had beats for some folks. They shot him.
Hello?
A million what now?
He had $1 million deal with Columbia at the time. That was right before he got shot. Could he get some songs, piss some folks off? Street guys shot him. Next thing you know, a couple years later, he became the artist we all know as 50 Cent.
And that's something you got to keep it going, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just amazing. I tell people, and that's why I tell people, you build it, but I didn't, you know, you build it, they will come. And I put that video out there, and VH1 came to me. And, you know, and so it was just amazing. And it's just a privilege because I love hip hop. And I said, you know, if I leave this earth today or tomorrow, I am a part of hip hop history. And 50 doesn't even know me. Everybody that was in that segment, VH1 Behind the Music, I think they all knew 50 personally. So I don't know, you know, and I don't know if he cleared everything, but I thank whoever that cleared everything for me to be a part of that segment. And my identity is himself, and one day I'll be able to thank him. You know, but that was just amazing to have the opportunity.
You'll get to be in his presence soon enough. That should be real interesting. I hope we're
there. Yeah, right?
Oh, yes.
That will be totally, totally awesome.
I'm going to say this.
I'm the only one. Uh-huh.
50, you listening? Get at us, man. Let's make something happen.
I know, right?
She's on the air right now. Please, let's make something happen, man. You ain't even with us.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, because you just never know. I'm like, wow, that was just amazing. And because everybody on that segment seemed like they knew him. And I said, I'm the only one that not really, in, you know, directly connected to him. And so... he knows of Trinetta Love because I'm on that segment, but who knows? I might be on Power. You never know.
Wow.
That would be something. That would really be something.
Talk to us about this role that you got in the movie The Ancient Book of Crawls. What is the movie about, and who are you in the movie?
Oh, that was a while ago. And that was a scary series that I was a part of. I can't even remember when I filmed that, but that series we filmed some years ago. Yeah, I mean, that was a while ago, but did you see when I was on Lifetime TV?
No, I didn't see it, but that's... Atlanta Plastic, right?
Yeah, that was Atlanta Plastic, and a girlfriend of mine encouraged me to share my story about my bowel obstruction that I had. And I'm not really one to really share real personal stuff about myself, but I said, you know what, if it's going to help someone out there, that's what I'm going to do. And I shared my story. And not only they cast me on it, they named the episode after my situation, which is called Butt Gut, because I had to get my stomach was cut up and down after I had the bowel obstruction. And that was an awesome experience working with Lifetime TV. And basically, that's why it helped me with what I do, because I'm like, I tell people, listen, Lifetime TV was at my house. We filmed at my house. Then they filmed somewhere in Buckhead in a small apartment. I said, so anything is possible. You can have a show and you don't have to have a big studio or whatever. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. And that's why it gives me the confidence to push, keep pushing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You reminded me of some of the old producers who took us to the side as young musicians very long time ago and told us that the title track to the movie Car Wash, okay, by Rolls Royce, was done on a 4-track.
Wow.
And then they told us the story about how when it was just 2 microphones and a 9-piece band and 8 tape recorder, 1 track. No overdubs.
Wow. Yeah. You know, people sometimes they feel like they don't have, you know, these high-end cameras and stuff, and they feel like they can't do it because they don't have, you don't have to have those really high-end cameras. Get the lighting right. Make sure we can see what you're doing. You know what I mean? And if you go to studio, there are studios that, you know, I know in Atlanta they have some rooms that might charge you $50 an hour. I would say, because I have a very strong, rich vocals, I need a certain mic or it's going to be distorted, even when I stand way back from the mic, because I'm taught to project my voice. And I, you know, since I've been junior high school. So as long as you get on a mic that can really accommodate your vocals and give you a crisp sound, but you don't have to spend a whole lot of money. And what I do before I go to the studio, I know what I'm going to sing. I do pre-production right on my laptop. I know I sing all my parts, so I know all the harmonies and melodies before I go in. So you cut down on your time when you do all that practice before you get to the studio. And you can cut down, you know, cut down time, cut down money you're spending.
That's absolutely solid advice for all of our music business aficionados out there, young entrepreneurs, songwriters, beatmakers, and the like. Absolutely solid, sound, good advice.
Thank you. Yeah, there's ways to get around it. Know what you're doing. Get in there, boom, 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 boom. Knock it out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Now, what's Black Orchids? Is
what,
that another
what?
Movie? That, Black Orchids?
That you digging in the crates? I believe so.
Oh, absolutely.
I've done a lot.
We have this research person on our staff. They wrote me this whole list of things that I should talk to you about. And
oh my gosh!
You know. Don't be surprised. Wait a minute. Let me look on here and make sure that they didn't ask for underwater toenail dirt samples from 1974. Oh, they didn't.
Yeah, I've been so blessed. Matter of fact, when I moved to Atlanta, I really didn't move to do much in Atlanta, because I tell people, once you've done New York, you know, once you've done all the different things, they didn't come to Atlanta to really pretty much do too much, but it seems like I'm doing a lot and I'm getting a lot of doors opening as far as definitely my film and the acting and that is really, really opening up. I do plan on doing another music project, because I wrote a song and I did record it, but it did not come out to the level that I needed to come out. And I will tell people, if you don't really like the sound and don't like it, don't put it out, because you got to live with it for the life of that song. It's just best to just wait and hold it and wait for the right team and pray for the right team to come around. So I have some song, definitely one song I want to put out, but it's the timing has to be right.
Who's your favorite producer?
I'm sorry?
Who's your favorite producer?
Oh, my God. It really does. It just depends because, you know, I would love to work with Dr. Dre, Doc Child. It's so many good producers. You know what I mean? Polo to Don. It's so many people. And I don't have one favorite. It just depends on kind of song I want to do. You know what I mean?
You know, I do. Will?
Yeah, I'm
Will.
Here. Yes, I'm here.
I'm listening to her talking voice, and I heard her singing voice, and, you know, Tony Green just keeps popping into mind.
Oh, yeah, Tony Green.
Tony Green?
Well, you don't know who Tony Green is. We're going to break it down to you. Tony Green was the bass player.
Tell her who Tony Green is.
Tony Green was the bass player on the Chronic Tour for Dr. Dre. He's the one who played all the bass licks on the album, multi-time album, Doggy Style. And he's the bass player who played on all the Dramatics hits in the 70s.
What?
Yeah. He was a friend of ours.
Wow. Yes.
He co-produced regular album with Warren G. He worked with Shaquille O'Neal, and the list goes on.
Normally we make these kind of hookups and connections, do stuff off the air. But I decided this a while back that, you know, we'd start introducing people to people on the air and see what comes from.
I think what we're gonna do is have him on
and have you on and tell him on the air that you could use some tracks and then just stand out the way and wait for y'all to finish and you come right back here as soon as you got with the comes out the kitchen.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, we're definitely going to do that. Yeah, Tony's our good friend. He has a long history in the industry, working with groups like the Dramatics and Snoop Dogg. You get no bigger than that. And Warren G.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's good. Because, yeah, I love his bass. I love it.
Oh, me too. Can't get enough of it. You know, we are getting to the top of the hour, so I have to stop and just say, if you just tuned in, thank you for tuning in. And if you were already tuned in, of course, you know you're listening to me and Will Turner. Of course, I'm Demetro Child. Will Clark Turner is my co-host, and our guest this afternoon's segment is Kenetta Love. You're listening to UTRN Music Talk Radio on FM 107.7. Of course, we want to give a great big old shout out, high fives, and a big thank you to iHeartMedia and Spreaker Radio. So if you're not listening to us on the car radio, then you need to tune in to Spreaker.com and find us on Spreaker, iTunes, SoundCloud, Deezer, and many others. There's so many I can't remember.
Yeah.
Here on the UPRN website are all the platforms that you can get to us on under iHeartMedia and others.
It's crazy. It's about 12 to 15 on the list.
Is it now 12 to 15 on the list?
I think
how
so.
How do you look lately?
I see the show everywhere now. I'm like, this is our show. It's on YouTube now. It's there. I'm like, wow. People just call me and come. They see the show everywhere.
I'm still busy enough to the point where I have not heard what we sound like on the radio speaker. Not yet.
Me either.
I haven't heard. Oh, you know what?
I have heard. Yeah.
So, Tristan, have you ever gone into the theater and watched yourself on the big screen?
Actually, I am recently in a movie called, I'm in an indie film that's opening on the 26th. So, yes. And I'm trying to think, the name is escaping me. But I am in a small part in this independent film that's opening in Atlanta, October 26th. Beauty and the Beholder, that's the name of it. And I have a small little part. So, yeah. So, I was recently in another short film where I played the mom and I had a pivotal role. So, that we did an opening to that back in August. And now it's the opening for Beauty and the Beholder. And that is opening the 26th. So I have seen myself on the big screen. And it's crazy. It's fun. And I pray that I will see myself on many more big screens.
Well, we'll be looking for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm sorry?
Make sure you let us know what you're doing. We're going to get website back up and running. So you'll be able to post from there. And also we're on Twitter. And our Twitter handle is You Heard It Here 1 DW. That's UHEARDITHEAR 1 DW.
V as in victory?
No, V like boy.
V and W, okay. And I'm on Twitter at IAM Trinetta, and Instagram is Trinetta Love, and Facebook is Trinetta Love. And my website is IamTrinetta.com.
Let's talk about your skit on BET. How was it working on a BET sitcom?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? You well? You hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, we want to talk about... Okay, let's take it back. Rewind. We're here. We want to know about how was your segment on BET? How was it working on a BET sitcom? For the folks who don't know how...
I was cast. I wasn't a regular on the sitcom. I was cast for one of the shows.
One of the episodes,
One of the episodes. So basically, like, you know, you sit around until they call you to do your part. You know what I'm saying? And I was selected it was just a handful of us singers in Atlanta that was selected. So I was so honored. It was on and we sang, and so that was the extent of me being on it. But it was a great experience.
Now, what is the name of the show for the world to find out if they want to get some of that?
It's a former. It's a former BET show, so it's no longer on BET.
Wow.
We'll call it Let's Stay Together. Yeah. So you know these shows come and they go. So, but you know. I sang on it. So it was me and a handful of other artists singing on one of the episodes. So I actually haven't even seen it because I didn't really watch the show. And now it's no longer on BET.
Wow.
But I tell you what, it's like I've been on BET, VH1, Lifetime. So my next goal is Bravo TV, WeTV, the Disney Channel. I definitely plan on going back on network TV, but it has to be the right situation. So there's a lot of different casting calls, and I auditioned for something else, but sometimes they want you to do things that I'm not comfortable with doing, and I stay away from reality shows because I am not one that's going to put all my business out there and disrespect myself or others. And that's what a lot of casting calls they're about. They want to highlight whatever dysfunction you have, and I'm not about that life.
You're what I call drama free.
You've got a closer look than most of us. Is that pretty much the culture in reality television these days? In other words, my real question is, are you really saying that there's no such animal, not by any stretch, as content that features individuals who are all getting along and everything is going wonderful over being successful?
That won't be not a reality show. They're not going to show that.
So there has to be controversy, there has to be tension, there has to be anxiety.
And, you know, I stopped watching all that, and I find that more and more people are pretty much, you know, not getting cable and getting the Fire Stick or whatever, because a lot of people just getting tired of that, you know. Life is tough enough. We're all grinding. And it's like, I don't want to come home and watch people fighting all the time. But that's what they want. That's what a lot of people want to watch, because a lot of people, unfortunately, are miserable, and they like to see when other people are miserable. So, but a lot of the casting calls, I mean, I didn't even renew my membership on a lot of these casting sites because, you know, they want you to just be in a trifling type of situation. And I said, I'm not going to do that. Even when I was in the music industry, I wasn't going to do certain things to work with certain producers. I have had a producer one time that, you know, tried to really, wrote me and all that in the studio, and say, well, if you want to do this and you want me to work on this, and I'll leave the studio. So when I walk down that red carpet to receive my award, I want to really be able to hold my head up high. You know what I mean? So,
what's the most asinine thing that you have to work through? Most unpleasant experience, other than the one that you just mentioned, in the industry overall. What's the most challenging, unpleasant thing that you've had to overcome?
Well, a lot of unpleasantness, but I will say one really severely disappointing situation was, I felt I was making a lot of progress. I had a manager that pretty much is related to a lot of people in Manhattan in the business. So we would walk into Warner Atlantic. We'd walk into, and I would perform. But what happened is, coming to find out, he had a coke problem. So even though he had all these connections, these people wouldn't touch me or touch a deal or anything because they knew him and they knew he had some drug issues. And here it is, I'm thinking, oh man, I'm walking in to these places, I'm singing for the VP, I'm whatever, whatever. And really, you know, my mother even said, they said the problem is not that they know these people, the problem is they know him. And so, you know, you just never know who's dealing or have issues, drug issues, this issues. And then I just a lot of disappointment because you can be in the room, you can have some real heavy duty producers want to work with you, but unfortunately, some of them are going to want to sleep with you. And I'm just not about the casting couch at all.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, well, is that the only way they can have a sexual experience? By, you know, hanging somebody's job over their head? I mean, you can't even buy you what you want. You know, you're so loose. Why you have to mix it in with your work? Why does it have to be that way?
Because they can, because they feel like they hold, you coming to them, they hold the cards. And, you know, I've been told by other girls that were accepting certain gifts that told me I was stupid and foolish for even working a 9-to-5, you know, because they were all taken care of, you know, and
oh, really?
Had the best mics, the this, the that. And I just, that's just, I wasn't about that life. And I'm just, if I got to make it later on, I'm going to make it
home. At the end of the day, it does not guarantee that we got us a hit. That's still a person who apparently is kind of bashful and shy about his sexuality and his prowess, who basically purchased a sexual experience in return for the illusion that he's giving you the best service possible as your artist. It still don't guarantee nothing. Actually, the man himself is going to go out like that. That said, I really don't think that I could attract somebody who just did me because, you know, I'm me. you know.
Right.
I should be cool enough to where, you know, all I do is just empty the trash at the studio. You know, I'm still trying to get me somebody. I ain't got to be there like, you know, well, if you want to say, you know, you're going to have to do this and this third.
Yeah.
I can't believe that there really is that amount of it going on. That's to say, then somebody is playing a head game where this is supposed to make people feel powerful, but at the end of the experience, they should feel ashamed.
They should, but they don't. I tell people all the time, if Beyonce didn't have Mr. Knowles and her mom protecting her, she wouldn't be Beyonce, because pretty much, you know, with her being so beautiful and young, all they want to do is just have sex with her. And thank God, even Brandy, you know, had the protection of her father. You need protection, you know, because they that's why they want you real young, you know, so they can take advantage of them. A lot of times these artists don't have that protection, because a lot of them come from single moms, so the mom got to work. So they take advantage. So I tell people all the time, if she didn't have Matthew and Tina, and especially Matthew knocking down those doors and, you know, protecting those girls, please, you know, she'd be clocking in like the rest of us.
Wow.
You know, because I was dancing. I danced, sang, did all that. When I went to, I attended Bethune-Cookman College. I danced at the Classic. I sang at the Classic. I would sing and then run into the lineup and dance with the 14 karat gold dancers and Morris Brown, Bubba Brown, Sugar dancers. So, but if I had someone that was knocking down certain doors and making sure I was protected, you know, I could have been on a different path, but I'm good because that's why I'm blazing my own trail. And I know all the experience that I have that I can help some other artists, younger artists. And I'm always looking for like talent. You know, and I love to meet talented people.
So how are you reached by people who want to get noticed by you because they think that they're talented enough to be considered?
How do I get reached?
Yeah, how are you reached?
Well, people, they see my work. I'm on Instagram, and I pretty much handpick people. So I'm on Instagram, Trinetta Love. And then if they go to YouTube, TSTAZZARZZ Entertainment, they usually inbox me, like, and I'll meet people out and, you know, they'll inbox me or send me a message and I'll check them out. And sometimes I'll put out a casting call and tell them to send the information to tstarsentertainment@gmail.com. So, and you know, the thing is, people have, if you keep grinding, people like me and other people want to see that you're working, that you're posting your work, that you're engaging the audiences online, because that's what really matters. They're going to look at your following. They're going to see, okay, if he or she is on this project, are they going to promote? Do they promote themselves? People got to understand, you can't wait for somebody to promote you. Promote yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you don't believe in yourself, don't expect anyone else to believe in you.
Let me ask you something, because you run a production company, entertainment.
T-Stars Entertainment.
I just want you to put that cap on, put on the boss cap. Now, what's the difference between if you learn how and you follow instructions and you're tractable, you sell and you got put into a company that's doing all of the social media and they're taking care of all of that stuff and making sure that, you know, you're doing public performance and so on and so forth. Is there really any difference between what they could do for you and what you could do for you other than the budget?
That's a good thing to think about. You know what I mean? It's like you have to see what you're doing for yourself And if somebody wants to partner with you or you want to partner with them, you got to see how both of you guys can add value and if it makes sense to partner. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
So,
I do.
Yeah, because like with me, like I used to have people say, I want to manage you, but I'm managing myself. Like what can you, and like you said, you know, you want to come with the big check to invest, and then what's the cost for that? What's the expectations for that? You know what I mean?
I mean, if we both know all the same people and the only difference is their availability to you versus their availability to me, then the only difference is whose money is right now. Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm.
The equation in terms of observation.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so we're going to go, you know, try and get in line and get a label deal. You know, versus, you know what, we're just going to make the music and we're going to use the same stuff that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get just as big all by yourself? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have done it. I mean, you know, and especially these younger people, they're brand ambassadors, this, that. I mean, I have people hit me up because they see how I promote, saying, oh, I want you to represent our brand, but they're not talking any money. You know what I'm saying? They're not even sending me product. So, end of conversation.
What are you supposed to get out of it?
Exactly. So, it's like, you're not doing anything. So it's like I don't even respond to stuff like that. You know, the thing is a lot of people try to make you feel like you need them. And what people have to understand is, you know, it should be an equal thing. What are you, I'm bringing something, you're bringing something. It can't be, oh, I need you to wear my shirt, represent my brand, and what am I getting out of it? You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. You don't even get to keep the shirt? That's just wrong.
They didn't even send me products. So for me, if I want you, my a lot of my fans and followers don't know this, but I plan to go and get some hats for the holidays, like my T-Stars hats. And for the people who have been sharing posts, no, I plan to like hit them up and gift them with these hats. Because they're, you know, they share, that means a lot because, you know, that's how you build a business, word of mouth.
Oh,
and people sharing your posts and all that. And I like to show appreciation. And, you know, but I don't tell people, oh, you need to do this because, you know, no. So when people come to me and they say, oh, you need to represent my brand, I don't even entertain that. You know,
wow.
They're not saying much of anything else. They just say, they pretty much see how I promote and my movement and why am I going to wear your shirt? I'm going to wear my own shirt. You know what I mean? Give me a reason to wear your shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
I respect that. I definitely do.
Well, we get the same kind of calls, but so far they haven't really disrespected us. Everybody said, you know, we'll send you some stuff. Just make sure you wear it where everybody can see it. And we don't mind as long as it's good stuff. And so far, everything's been pretty nice stuff. You know, the different baseball caps and so forth, and starter jackets, and there are a couple of different clothing designers that are saying, well, if you guys are going to do a podcast, you know, we'd like to, you know, partner along with you. And, of course, they want to guarantee that you're going to wear it, that it's going to be seen for a certain amount of time. That part is really interesting because, you know, today's independent artist really, if he looks at everything that's possible, the tools and equipment that's available to everybody, you could do your own little small business empire and just and make the same amount of money that you would make clocking in, you know, on a 9-to-5. But when it hurts, it really hurts. And when it's good, it's really good.
Well, when it's good, that's when you invest and you stack your chips.
Absolutely right.
I
have a question that we ask. Every guest is now. One day, Will and I are going to sit down, and we're going to make one show, It's just the answer to this question from everybody who's ever been, on the show. So, in that spirit, the question is, what advice do you have for the generation coming behind you? In other words, younger people, what do you want to tell them about the path that was already blazed that you were on and one that's getting blazed now, and what's the best way for them to use it and navigate to their success?
I would tell any and everybody, I decided at a young age, 16 years old, what I wanted to do. And I stuck to it. Don't let anyone take you away from the vision that has been placed in your heart, your soul, your mind. Don't, I see so many people, especially girls, you know, feel so desperate to find a man or do things for a man or vice versa. Don't be desperate for anything other than your dream, your passion. Because I thank God I stuck to my gun, because now that I'm 30 plus, it's like I see people who gave up their dreams. They're so miserable. They are mostly the haters. So at all costs, stay true to you. Do you, and don't veer off that path for anybody. Period. I'm telling you.
Very well put. So, world, you heard it here first, and that one was from Shanetta Love. We want to thank you for being on our broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
We've had a blast.
To come back on, hang out with us some more. Of course, everybody, we want to thank you for listening, and if you made it home, and then welcome home on a Monday afternoon Drive Time Radio, UTRN Music Talk Radio, FM 107.7 and FM 107.5 on your dial. Of course, we want to give a great big old thanks to Spreaker Radio.
Yes, Spreaker.
Please go to Google Play and get Spreaker.com. That way, you can have us anywhere you go, anytime you want. We're also on SoundCloud, iTunes, and
YouTube.
I forgot about YouTube.
Yeah, they can definitely check it out on YouTube.
You know, one day I'm actually going to go listen to us on YouTube. I have not heard what we sound like on anything.
Well, I'm going to let the world know this. I do listen to us with Tony Wynn on YouTube. And when we did with the No Limit artist, Master P Camp. And it was pretty cool seeing our picture up there and, you know, hearing us. With Tony Green, people like that, legendary people.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know you had that. You'll have to send me over the link. I'll have to
see. I'll definitely send you the link, because, like, with the artist names, how I post it, with the artist names, you can see it pop up. It makes a Team Money Green. Our show pops up in the list of his stuff.
Wonderful. Well, you know, we got to get another eargasm before we get out of here. I was really feeling the song that we played at the intro to today's segment, that Soldiers for Life. It's got a whole lot of power and meaning in it. What's the name of the song you're going to play for us, Will, so we can hear that?
I'm going to have Miss Shanetta Love introduce her other single. Introduce it to the world. Let the world know.
It's called Searching All Over the World. Searching. Yes.
We love that title.
Thank you.
We're searching.
Will, you got to cue it up and hit us with it. And that's what we're going to get out of here on. I want everybody, if you're still driving, you know, you might want to hang on to the steering wheel with both hands and just, you know, kind of feel this. Visit with us again next week. And, of course, anytime you want on Spreaker.com. Big thanks to iHeartRadio and iHeartMedia. We'll get us out of here.
We're going to go out with the song Searching. I want to say peace to the world. I want you, Miss Shanetta Love, give her a shout out. Give you a shout out to the people before we go on to the Dynamite Zone.
Shout out to all my T-Stars. Shout out to everybody. Shout out. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you.
Well,
like this. That's Will Turner, Will Clark Turner. I'm Benito Child. Our guest for this afternoon was Tristan Love. I want to give shout out to my whole time everywhere around the world, especially my friends down in Liberty, my peeps out in Southern California, my desert folks. Y'all know who you are. And of course, my Bay fam from the Bay Area. We're out of here.
Peace. And we're going to be searching tonight. So, listen to the song. Download on iTunes and iHeart and all that stuff. Download the song on iTunes. Search it. Peace. And we'll see you next time on You Heard It Here First.
Again. How come this door keep revolving and when it stops it always ends? I'm determined to find you so we can love again. I'm gonna take the next flight, so passengers get ready. You better buckle up, 'cause it's gonna be a long ride. Pull up your seat, pay attention, 'cause tonight Shaq and Kobe. I'm burning up on the bench, heat it up, give it up, up. Come home, I see how you look at me. I know you want some of this, goody, goody, and I need it too. That's why, baby, I'm searching for you. I'm gonna take the next flight, so passengers get ready. You better
right, swag right, staying posing like a statue. And nails is here to snatch you, 'cause I just gotta have your Benz truck rimmed up, smoking, you ain't gotta match me. The luxurious type, but staying classy, clean lips be rolling the Dutchess with the realest queen. You probably got a man, but shout it, I may intervene. Plus you got a team, but I can be your young and illest dream.
Searching on the